good morning, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to Bayside. Wasn't that a good time of worshiping and praising the Lord together? Amen? I know I say this a lot, but it's really, man, we are so blessed to have this worship team that just leads us and uses their gifts and their skills. Working so hard consistently. So anyway, to all of the worship team members, thank you. We love you and appreciate you, and you help to lead us into a heart of worship. Because worship is more than our words. Worship is a heart that is adoring of Jesus beyond all the other things in life that we could adore. And there's a number of things that we can go there sometimes. And then there's things that can frustrate us. Any Duluth people get stuck behind a train this morning? Yeah, there was a number, and there's a few that are still coming. That's one of the struggles. You know, you superior spoiled folks, understand, you know, just understand our struggle. And now with the Bong Bridge being closed, we have to work to get here, my friends. And so understand we love it here, but there's some sacrifice, you know, that train and, okay, whatever. If that's as bad as our life gets, we got it pretty good. Anyway, good morning and welcome. If you are a visitor, we're just glad you're with us. And if you're not a visitor and this is the place you call your spiritual home, we're as glad for that as well. So we have been talking about being stirred up, and maybe some of you got stirred up again by that little train, that choo-choo thing that was going. But there's a lot of things in life that stirs us up, and we've been looking at what happens. What do we do when life stirs us up? And that stirring can happen positively or negatively. And the Lord works through the stirrings of life. He works through the negative stirrings up, and he works sometimes positively stirring us up to action. You're going to hear another story from one of us, one of our own, that was stirred up to action. You're going to hear that this morning. But our goal is, as we get stirred up, to look up. And then that's, of course, looking to Jesus. God, how do I respond to this stirring up, good or bad? Stepping up internally, saying, okay, God, I'm going to do the right thing. And then eventually, our goal has been this year is to step out. And I believe every one of us, my heart is 100% of us, in some way would be stirred to step out into a new ministry, something that is new, something that is different, or even doing maybe a familiar ministry, but in a new way in some way. And then, of course, as a body, we've been being stirred up. And this last month has been no different in the stirring up and stepping out. We have introduced something called Bayside in Duluth. And that, I'll just tell you, that process is continuing. We had a wonderful first meeting last Sunday morning. Over 60 folks or so came and we gathered together and prayed together and talked. Yesterday, we had a wonderful time with our regional minister, Dr. Perry, and he did some wonderful training on cross-cultural missions and what that looks like. Of course, we are looking at heading into the inner city of Duluth, and so that may look and feel a little cross-cultural for some of us. And so he gave just a great time with Dr. Perry in learning, and I think it was a very much of a learning experience for many of us. And now, last week, Pastor Thomas stirred us up, and what a good message, PT, thank you, on why our youth matter, and our youth do matter, amen? And I want to encourage you, he challenged us, challenged us in multiple ways, but the two significant ones, number one is our nursery, and we had some people that signed up for nursery right after the service, so you did good, PT, and we need more nursery workers, and so if that is something that the Lord, maybe even over this week, has stirred you, just go straight back to the desk, talk to Alicia or whoever's back there, and they will get you hooked up to help out in that area, as well as maybe the Lord has worked in you to pray for one of our youth. And we have a system set up where we have every youth being prayed for by an individual specific person. And so maybe you want to be that for one of the youth in our church. Again, talk to Pastor Thomas this morning about that. So anyway, PT, thank you. I know that message stirred me up, and I got to consider how I'm going to respond to that. Now today, as last week, we talked about how our youth matter. Today, it's going to be a similar and yet slightly different message this morning. And it will be related to that, but I want to look at a different thing, and I want to look at this thought. Why not just our youth matter, but I want to discuss and think about why all kids matter. So I am certainly aware of the fact that the youth in our congregation matter very much. They matter very much to me. I know that and hope that they matter very much to you. At the same time, there are many children in our world who are not a part of this body, that are not a part of this family, and they also matter. Amen? And today we're going to broaden our focus a little bit, and we are going to look at why all children, why all kids matter. And we're really going to look at two different groups. These two groups are related, and I want to begin this morning just by giving you two words. And these are two Old Testament words. Sometimes they are interchangeable, and yet they are also different. And I want us to begin to think about these two words. These two words, and these are the two groups of children that matter that we're going to be focusing on this morning. The two words that I want us to think about, number one is the word orphan, and second is the fatherless. Orphans and the fatherless. And again, sometimes in the Old Testament, those two words were the same, because culturally, in that context, if you were fatherless, in many ways, the father was the only opportunity for provision. So you only had your needs provided for if you had a father. Even if you had a mother, because moms didn't often work in that context and culture. If you were fatherless, in many ways, provisionally, you were like an orphan. But they are significantly different in that an orphan is without parents. And a fatherless, by definition, is without a father. Now, I want us to think about those two words. Those are used extensively both in the Old and the New Testament. The Old Testament breaks those down. It's two different words. The New Testament, it is combined into the word that we define as orphan. We'll talk about that. But the heart of this is the same. Why all kids matter, and maybe specifically why these two groups matter. Now, I want us to pray. And specifically when I pray, I want you to ask the Lord to soften your heart today for those two groups. They're easy to ignore. And I don't mean that. I don't mean we do it intentionally. I don't mean we do it with a bad heart. But it is very easy because life gets busy. And we have our things and we have all of the stuff that does matter. And yet, I want us to spend a little bit of time. And while we pray, I would encourage you to ask the Lord to soften your heart, pre-soften your heart for orphans, for kids without parents. And then I'd ask him to soften your heart for the fatherless. And I will define that. But just for now, let's ask the Lord to soften our heart for these children that matter to him, and I pray matter to us as well. So let's pray and ask the Lord to do that work in advance of us going into his word. Heavenly Father, I do come to you, and God, today I am thankful, and we are thankful, simply because, number one, of what you did for us in our salvation, and we will remember that in a few moments in communion. So we are thankful for our salvation. We didn't earn that place. We didn't earn that adoption by you. You afforded that to us. And Jesus, that came through your life and your death and your blood. And we thank you for that. So that great salvation, that hope that we have, we thank you. We also thank you for this place, this country that we live in that is free and that has so many services available to it. And yet, God, we remember and we realize that around our world and even around our nation, there are kids who fit into one of these two categories, orphan or fatherless. And so, God, I would like to ask that as your heart beats for these two groups, God, I would ask that our heart would beat for these two groups, that you would soften our hearts today, that you would help us to understand what it might be like to be an orphan or to be fatherless. And maybe there are some, even this morning, who can relate to that because that has been their experience, or maybe even that is their life. And so, Father, I pray that you would minister to us in the way that only you can. We need you for that. I pray all of this now, asking you to work and move powerfully in our midst, praying all of this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Orphans and the fatherless. Orphan clearly defined as a person without parents. Listen to what fatherless means, though, by definition. This is significant. Fatherless means a non-existent father or a father who is a non-entity. A non-existent father or a father who practically is a non-identity. Now that looms large even in our culture, doesn't it? Fatherlessness looms large in a variety of ways. I think it's an epidemic in our culture. Fatherlessness, either real or felt, fatherlessness is an epidemic. It looms large in our culture and I believe around the world. I want to start this morning with a verse that gives God's heart for orphans and for the fatherless. And it's Psalm 68:5. Listen to how God describes himself this morning. He is a father to the fatherless and a protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation. Now look at what he says. He describes himself as the father to the fatherless. He says, I will be their father. It's not just what he does. Look at what it says. It's who he is. It is not just a part of what he does. It defines his very character, that he wants to be father to those who have no father. He wants to be dad to anyone who has no dad, to the orphan who has no mom or dad, or to the fatherless who has no father. Now, the Israelites, because this is who God was, in the Old Testament, the Israelites were given specific instructions on how to care for the fatherless or the orphan. And I believe this would also translate over into the widows. We're going to focus this morning on orphans. But I pray with all of my heart that God would stir us to the plight and the difficulty of being a widow as well. Because I believe that group is just as significant in God's heart and in God's mind. But today we're going to focus on the orphan. Now, I'm going to give you five very clear instructions that the Lord had for the Israelites. And I believe these apply today and will bring this clear in the New Testament. But listen to these five things, four really specific instructions, and then one negative thing that was associated with caring for and loving the orphans and the fatherless. Number one, the Israelites were not to mistreat the fatherless. No mistreating. And I think it's very easy to take advantage of kids. They are the most vulnerable people, and they can be very easy to mistreat them in a variety of ways. You can mistreat a little one in many different ways, can't you? And they were to never, ever mistreat Exodus 22:22. Number two, the fatherless was to be filled with food. Filled with food, Deuteronomy 14:29. There was to be no hungry children in Israel. None. There shouldn't be a hungry kid in Israel, is what God was saying. Amongst my children, there should be no hungry children. Do what you have to do. I don't care. Do what you have to do to make sure their bellies are full. Number three, they were to include the fatherless in their celebrations. I love this. Deuteronomy 16:14. The orphans and the fatherless were to be included in the fun. See, they were to be welcomed in. They were to also have some fun and to rejoice. And in the celebrations that Israel was to have, when there was a party that was going on, the kids and the fatherless and the orphans, they were to be encouraged. Come on. You can have some fun too. You can celebrate too. You can have this religious feast in the worship of the Lord and in celebration of his provision and protection too. Come on. Join us. Are you seeing God's heart in this? In terms of Israel's instruction in this, number four, they were to provide practically for the fatherless. Deuteronomy 24, that entire chapter, tells how there was to be practical provision. Generally, it came in leaving some of the harvest. That meant when they were getting their wheat in the harvest, don't cut too close to the edge. You know, when my son is cutting the grass, I don't want him to miss any spots, okay? He drives it like he's in the Indy 500, all right? And he misses spots all over the place. Well, God's instruction was the opposite. He would love Andrew's cutting techniques, okay? He said, don't cut too close. Leave some of that harvest. Leave some of those grapes. Leave some of those olives. Leave some of my provision for you for them. Don't take it all. Don't spend it all. Don't even think it's all yours. Are you seeing God's heart this morning? I want us to remember these things. And number five, and this is the negative one, I had to bring it up because it's in here. There was a curse in not giving justice to the fatherless, Deuteronomy 27, 19. There was actually a curse from the Lord, a negative consequence when the Israelites didn't do this. And I think that was God saying, listen, my children, I'm serious. I'm serious about this. These are the most vulnerable. These are the most neglected. These are the ones that are easily ignored. It's easy to forget. I know you got your own things. I know you're busy. I know life is taking you in directions. I know you got your plans. I know you got your agendas. I know you got your families. I get all of that, God is saying. But don't forget these ones. Don't forget these ones. And Israel was very, very clearly instructed that this group was to be cared for. So this week I had to ask myself, I grew up in a family where I had a mother and a father and they both loved me and I had probably every advantage that a human could have, I think. I was very blessed. I was provided for. I was protected for. I was loved. I was raised in the Christian faith. I had great sisters. No brothers. One thing I would have liked, but it's okay. And so I said, God, how can I know what it would be like to be in this position? How can I possibly even know that? How can I know? How can I step into those shoes of an orphan in Africa? How can I step into the shoes of a fatherless person in America? How can I step into those shoes? I want to begin with a verse, not begin, I guess, but I want to focus on a verse this morning from John 14. We have a ministry here called Promise 14:18 that is specifically focused on orphan care, adoption, help and awareness, and the foster care system in our country. We're going to talk more about them in just a couple of minutes, but Promise 14:18 comes from these verses from the book of John, chapter 14. Hours before Jesus would go to the cross, he makes a statement to them that had to seem curious to them at the time. This is the verse to me that the Lord used to help give me the heart, perhaps, of what it would be like if I were to ever walk in those shoes. And I want to read this. Jesus speaking to his disciples hours before he would leave and go to the cross. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Of course, he's referring to the Holy Spirit that would come about 40 days later at Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is who he's saying is going to come. Even the Spirit of truth, there he is, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you. See, the Holy Spirit was around them at that point and will be in you when he came on Pentecost. And now as New Testament followers, he dwells in all of us. Old Testament he dwelt with, New Testament he dwells in, Holy Spirit in us, great blessing, praise the Lord, amen? Amen. Okay, that's what he's saying here. Now look at verse 18, and this is where this comes from. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you, Jesus said to his disciples. He said, I won't leave you as orphans. Now, I want to define that word orphan because I think it encompasses both the orphan and the fatherless. There's the verse, John 14, 18. Let's define that word orphan. New Testament, it's the word orphanos. Okay, and I think it kind of takes both the orphan and the fatherless into one. Here's what this word means: bereaved, orphan, parentless, comfortless, or fatherless. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you comfortless. Now, very clearly, Jesus was just about to leave them. He was just about to leave them and go to the cross and go to the grave. So he was going to leave them, but he said, I won't leave you as an orphan. I won't leave you like an orphan. And this is the sad reality that the Lord showed me this week. Orphans and the fatherless often feel left. They feel left. They feel alone. They feel as though there is no one to comfort them in that loneliness. They know they had someone. They know there should be someone there. Whether that is a parenting team or whether that is just a father, they know in their minds there should be someone else here, but there is not. Therefore, that someone left me. And now I have no one to comfort me in that loneliness. And there's great confusion. Why did they leave? See, when Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, that's because orphans consistently feel left. They feel left. They feel alone. And many times they have a great confusion that is never satisfied for much of their life unless there is an interaction, unless there is a rescue. Now, maybe some of us can relate to what it feels like to be left. And if that is where you are at this morning, whether you have been left as a child, whether you have been left as an adult, if someone that you loved left you when you didn't want them to leave you, then I want to tell you this morning that there is comfort in Jesus. That person may not be brought back, but there is comfort in Jesus. Amen. You see, he said, I won't leave you as an orphan who was left without comfort, left in the middle of loneliness, left with confusion. He said, yes, I will leave you, but I won't leave you never to return or never to receive the comfort. That's the good news of the gospel. That Jesus, although he left those disciples hours after he spoke this, he wasn't going to leave them comfortless. But the life of an orphan and the fatherless, I believe the widow and even the widower, is one of being left. It's one of being alone. And God is saying, Jesus is saying, yes, I will leave you, but I won't leave you alone. That brings us to the good news of the gospel. See, because the good news of the gospel has to meet us in our place of greatest pain. It has to meet us in our place of greatest hurt and loneliness and fear. The gospel meets us in those internal places. The gospel invades those places. And that is what Jesus was doing in the midst. Is he was saying, I won't leave you as an orphan. And an orphan or a fatherless person's greatest pain is, why did that person leave? And the gospel intersects us in that exact place. I want to read to you the gospel of our adoption. from the book of Galatians. This is the good news. This is the spiritual adoption that we have in Jesus. Listen to Galatians 4, starting in verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. That's all of us. So that we might receive, what is that word? Please look up here. We might receive what? Adoption. As sons. You see, we were spiritual orphans. We were comfortless. We were hopeless. We were family-less. We were fatherless. We were spiritually orphans. And when Jesus Christ came, he opened up this beautiful picture of adoption. And now we, in Christ, have been adopted into the family of God with God the Father as our Father. Amen? See, that's the good news. The good news is wrapped up in care for orphans. It is wrapped up in consideration for the fatherless. The gospel itself is a picture of why we care. And this is the good news. This is our spiritual adoption. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, the Holy Spirit, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. See, now our spirit, because God's Spirit is now inside of us, bearing witness with our spirit that we are his. Now we can finally cry out, Abba. That is the closest, nearest term of endearment for a father. Dad, my father. This is now my dad. This is now the one who is my protector, my provider. Everything that perhaps my earthly father was not, or I wished he was. Everything now that is the greatest place of my hurt or my pain. Now God is that for me. And so now we have been adopted and welcomed. Look at verse 7. So now you are no longer a slave to sin. Sin no longer enslaves us in the gospel, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through God. The good news is God did not leave us as spiritual orphans. Amen? He didn't leave us to wonder if anyone cares about our pain. He didn't leave us to sort out the hopeless confusion on our own. Jesus saw our place of greatest hurt, and he gave himself, he sent himself, he offered himself, he came into our world to care for us because we couldn't care for ourselves. He met us in that great place of pain. He did the greatest thing he could do. He humbled himself and entered our world to care for us. Let's remember, God didn't do this for himself. Jesus didn't do this for himself. They were thinking about us. Orphan care, fatherless care, adoption, all of those things are not and will never be about us. Ever. God didn't send his son because somehow it made God more satisfied in who God is. God sent his son and Jesus came for what it did for us. God is God. We can never make him more God-like. He is eternal in his nature. In his character, he needs nothing to be more God-like. So when God sent Jesus and Jesus came, their complete motivation was us and what we needed. The most humbling act in all of creation was God becoming man for the sake of man. He did that. They did that for us. So their focus, their effort, their mindset was not on themselves. It was on the ones who needed the caring. Orphan, adoption care, foster care are completely wrapped up in not what is this about us. This is what do they need. If it is about what is us, then we don't understand the fullness of the gospel. The gospel did not make God more godlike. He did it because we needed it. And he humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself. The greatest act of humility that we'll remember in just a couple of moments through communion. Jesus said, I will come to you very clearly. And he did come to us. He sent the Holy Spirit. And then he would come in his second coming. So Jesus clearly said, I did not He did not leave them as orphans. He would not leave us as orphans, and he ultimately will never leave us as orphans for eternity. Because of that, because of the gospel, that gives us now a context for James chapter 1, verse 27. It gives us an example in Jesus, and it gives us a context for why God even says what he is going to say in James 1:27. Listen to this. Religion, James says, God says through James, that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. You see, we now have a context for that because of what Jesus did, because Jesus visited us in our affliction. Therefore, we now visit others in their affliction. Listen to that word visit means, and I think if you want to think about all those commands that the Israelites had, those Old Testament things that they were to do for the fatherless and the orphan, I think they are wrapped up in this one word visit. Listen to what this word visit literally means. It's the Greek word episkeptomahi. Don't ask me to say that twice. It means to inspect, to select, to go to see, to relieve, to look out for, and to visit. We bring relief to orphans and the fatherless. We look out for them. We visit them in the midst of their affliction because that's what Jesus did for us. We are simply reflecting the heart of the Father and the feet of the Son. We are simply being reflectors of what God did for us in the gospel when we look out for, when we relieve the affliction of, when we visit, when we care for. We are simply reflecting Jesus. When we fill their bellies with food, when we welcome them into our homes, when we include them in on our celebrations, when we make sure they have the provisions that they need, when we never ever mistreat them, we are simply doing what Jesus did. It is the very hands and the feet of Jesus Christ to reflect what Christ did when we visit. When we visit. This type of love, James calls it pure and undefiled. That is because it is rarely selfishly motivated. Generally, both orphans and widows can never pay you back. That's why it's pure. You don't get a lot out of this, and to do it, it is always a sacrifice. You know, we put religion, we make religion in a bad name, and I don't want to be religious, but if you want to do anything, if you want to do anything spiritual, here's a good place to start. Care for these two groups because they've done nothing to put themselves in the situation that they're in. Something just happened to them that they did nothing or very little to do anything about. It just happened to them. An unfortunate thing happened. They can do nothing to really pay you back, so take care of them. Take care of them. It's unselfish giving, sacrificial giving at its core, and that is a reflection of the gospel. That is a reflection of Jesus. So this year I've encouraged us to step out, haven't I? I've encouraged us, and I said every single one of us, I want us all to step out into some new ministry. And to be honest with you, I'm very excited about how the Lord has been stirring some of you up already. I'm excited about how the Lord is going to continue to stir you up. But if I'm honest, this next person's testimony of their stirring up, I wasn't ready for God to stir them up. If I'm going to be real, I don't think I wanted God to stir this person up. It's just being honest. So I'd like to invite up my wife, Andrea. And she's going to tell a little part of her story about how God stirred her up. You know, in marriage, it's interesting because there's sometimes when God stirs you up as a couple, right? And then there's sometimes when God stirs up an individual within that couple, and the other one is a part of that stirring up. And I think this year for us, it has been that. God stirred me up. And you know, I shared the story of how God has been stirring me up. And then many of us through this ministry called Bayside in Duluth. At the same time, God has been stirring my wife up, Andrea, up in a very different way. And so will you just share a little bit of your story in that?
Good morning. When I sang the song this past winter, "You Make Me Brave," the lyrics go, "You make me brave. You called me out beyond the shores into the waves." And I love that song. The words are poignant. But as I was singing them, I thought, I really like being on the shore. Not a big fan of the waves. And I really hope this song isn't prophetic and he is going to be making me brave for something in the future. Well, my mom and I went to the movie The Dropbox. And it moved me very, very deeply. And you have an opportunity tonight to watch that movie, The Dropbox. It will be here at Bayside at 7 o'clock. And I think before I go on, let's watch a trailer from The Dropbox.
Let's try to. We're having a little technical.
Let's see if we can. I always cry when I'm angry. And she said, "Why are you crying? It's only Orphan."
Baby Box is South Korea's first and only box to collect abandoned infants.
Hundreds of unwanted babies are abandoned on the streets of Seoul, South Korea every year.
Tragic loss of life moved a pastor said to set up a way for saving unwanted babies.
위험함 속에서 버려진 아이들 있고 또 길거리에서 그래서 이제 베이비 박스라는 것을 만들게 됐고
그리고 정말 안 들을 줄 알았어요.
아니, 어떤 아이들은 목사님 이 아이하고 죽으려고 약탔습니다. 네, 그러지 마라. 그러면 너도 오고 애기도 와라.
길이 엄마의 길입니다. 제 아들을 부탁드립니다. 찾지 말아 주십시오. 죄송합니다. 정말로 죄송합니다.
누구야? 이 길이.
길이.
이 길이.
이 길이.
이 길이. 영어 이름은?
네.
빅토리.
American name is Victoria.
빅토리.
그래서 그 아이들이 이 세상에 필요 없는 존재들이 아니고 하나님이 쓰시고자 이 땅에 보내셨어.
여기 이제 가정에 20명이라 한 그 아이들이 좁은 공간에서 많이 살고 있으니까 사랑 공동체가 다른 것은 아버지 어머니가 있기 때문이죠.
또 하지 않는 일 그리고 버려질 수 있고 또는 나라에서 하지 않고 있는 이런 일들을 하시는.
Even if there's just one person that really cares about children, it makes such a difference.
They're just human beings, just like anyone else. They have the right to live.
이제 이 문제가 한국만의 문제가 아니고 이제 아마 세계적으로 이 아이들이 이렇게 밖에 보내서 희생당한 아이들 많으니까.
But these children, they're helpless. They're voiceless. Who's going to speak for them?
이 아이를 보내면서 다시 한번 내가 헌신을 했어요. 하나님, 이 아이들 위해서 죽겠습니다.
믿음, 소망, 사랑 중에 세 가지. 그 중에 제일은 사랑이라고 했습니다.
'Tonight at 7 p.m., I would encourage every one of you to come and watch that. Pastor Lee and his wife are just amazing examples of loving. You know, these children don't have a say, and they love them. And you don't have to go to South Korea to see people that care for orphans, for kids in foster care right here in our community. Actually, right here in our church, we have Promise 1418 that Mark spoke about, which really comes alongside those that are going to be doing foster care and adoption. We have people in our church body that have adopted or are going through the adoption process, foster care parents. And I have another picture because we have,
No, it's okay. My sister and her family, I'll talk for a minute. I have a mic. This is my sister Linda and her husband Kevin, and their two natural children, Courtney and Nicholas, are the two older ones. And then the two biggies there, the big pictures there, are Zachary on the right playing the piano, and then Caden, our Beethoven. And they came into their family and now our family through the FOS Adopt program, which is starts as foster care and moves into adoption. And they have been a tremendous example to us. My sister is older than I am. If you see her, you won't believe that, but that's true. Much older. And she's sitting right here this morning, so that's why I'm given a little bit of grief. And they have been an example to us that at any age, the Lord can stir your heart. And Pastor Lee is another example of that. And I think we do have many examples of people who have said, no, I will do this. And we had those examples. And so you watched the Dropbox movie and you thought, okay, I better do something, maybe give a meal or...
I'll try to get it together.
You did those couple of things.
And, right.
Yeah.
Well, and I thought, I really, during that movie, I laughed, I cried, and I had another emotion that I wasn't a real big fan of, and that was a feeling of selfishness on my part. I thought, I am not doing something for these foster kids, for orphans, for that we have in the adoption program. And I thought, I can make a meal. I better do something quickly. I'll make a meal. I'll help them out. And I need to do this before God thinks that I should do some, do foster care or adoption. And
just make a meal.
Something quickly.
You're a good cook. Yeah.
And so I did that. And I thought, well, clearly he knows that cooking is more my thing. Our house, we're busting at the seams with the five of us. We could not have children in our house. I'm a little... And so I get kind of... In a good way, sure. A little bit, not the heartiest. And Mark is incredibly busy, especially with Bayside in Duluth.
It's terrible timing for you to be stirred
up. Terrible timing to be stirred up.
Yeah.
And yet, Mark and I found ourselves a couple months later sitting in the St. Louis County office for an informational meeting on foster care. And we looked at each other... And I think we both thought, how did we even get here? Like, I feel like God, like, took me from the Dropbox and, like, dropped me off there.
Yeah.
Like, the process I can't even really comprehend.
But we knew it was what we needed to do.
What we need to be doing. As I sat there, and the presenter spoke about all the hundreds, probably between St. Louis County and Douglas, there's probably 1,000 children in the foster care system. It's really sad. I mean, super duper sad. And I could give reason upon reason why we cannot do it. And yet I thought, you know what? I have a lot of love to give. We have a safe environment. I'm home during the day. We can do this.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't know how.
No.
But we knew that the Lord was stirring us up to do it.
We're starting, the process of that. And
of becoming a foster family.
Foster family.
And having children into our house.
Right, and we can't house a lot, but we can make a difference one child, two children at a time, and that's really what they need. These children are in situations where they, through no fault of their own, they're found to be taken from their home. Now, if you can think for a second, and this really hit me when she spoke about it, the presenter, that even though their home life is not enviable, it's what they've known. That's normal for them. So when they are taken from that environment and they're put with somebody they've never met before in their whole life, and I put myself in that position or put my kids in that position, that would be terrifying.
They
It'd
feel
be terrifying
alone. They feel like they've been
at
left.
My age.
Right, right.
Which is old.
Yeah.
And that would be terrifying. And I thought, there's no way that I can go on and not do something. And I think God calls each of us differently, but for us, we are going to start the process. And I don't think it's coincidental that when music stirs me, it moves me in ways that I think nothing else can. And I was in my car after that meeting, and a song from Sidewalk Prophets came on, Live Like That. And can we play it?
No.
We can't. Okay. Well, then I'm going to have to tell you, I'm not going to sing it.
Oh, I was kidding. This song came on as we were leaving the foster care.
Sometimes I think,
office.
What will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs. Was I loved when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song?
I think it's coincidental that that song came on when I got in the car, and I thought, I want to live like that, recklessly abandoned, never holding back. And I'll tell you, as an eldest child, I really fit the mold pretty well. Being recklessly abandoned, never holding back, does not really fit into my vocabulary. I like order. I like itineraries.
Okay, let's see who else is out there. Can I get an amen on that? All right, you got some company in that.
I knew I would.
Yeah.
That's why we make a good team. But
did you just call me reckless?
How many people buy a building for $10?
I'm okay.
$10 in there.
I'm okay account. With reckless.
Yes.
At
but
times.
God uses that, and He uses combos of that. And I thought, you know, on this earth, the time we have here, when we're in heaven, we're going to have plenty of time to relax and bask in His glory. And worship Him, but our time here, we are only given one opportunity to make a difference. And I think to myself, I can either be a spectator on the shore, or I can be on the waves, recklessly abandoned, never holding back. And that's what we're gonna do.
Thank you. You know, the timing, God's timing isn't always what we would consider as perfect. I wasn't ready for that stirring up in my family, and yet this is God's timing. When Peter went out and walked on the waves, it was the fourth watch of the night, which means it was just before sunrise, and they had been paddling, struggling against the wind all night. I'm sure Peter felt tired. And that is when he was called out onto the waves, when he was probably most tired. God doesn't always have our timing. Our timing is not always the one. How can we respond to this? I want to give you very, very quickly five ways we can prayerfully respond to God's heart for orphans and the fatherless. Number one, we can support adoption. What do I mean by supporting adoption? Well, we have a fund here, an adoption fund that helps couples who are in the process of adopting. You can give to that fund. Promise 1418, we'll have a table in the back. We have two couples right now, Dave and Amy Lamaster and Shane and Joanna McCotter. There's Dave and Amy. Will you guys please stand? These two are in the midst of the adoption process. Say, hi, Dave and Amy. And then Shane and Joanna McCotter. Shane is in the sound room, and you can say, hey, Shane. Joanna will be here second service. These two couples, you can be seated. Thank you. Not you, Shane. These two couples are right in the middle of the adoption process, and there's going to be some fundraisers you're going to see coming up. Support them. support those who are adopting. Number two, you can watch the Dropbox movie tonight that we just watched the trailer for. 7 p.m., come. Will that be a sacrifice to watch? Yes. Might you cry? Maybe. Might it touch your heart deeply for the cause of orphans? I hope so. Number three, mentor or sponsor a child. Mentor, you can do that locally. You can do that in a lot of different ways, but you can also sponsor a child through an organization like Compassion. Compassion is feet on the ground service, ministry to children around the world who need that. Number four, consider foster care. Okay, welcome to my current world. Consider foster care. Maybe you have space. You have love, even though the timing may not be perfect. Maybe that fits you. Number five, consider adoption. Consider adoption. You know, every natural childbirth is a reflection of God. It is a partnership with God to give life. God is the giver of life. Every adoption is a reflection of God working with God to rescue a life. Every adoption is a rescue. How can we respond? Prayerfully consider your response this morning. I think very appropriately, we're going to close this morning with communion. And those who are going to serve communion, I'd ask you to go and prepare the elements for us this morning. We are going to have a time where we remember our adoption, where we reflect again on our spiritual adoption that was afforded to us because of Jesus. Remember, orphan care, fatherless care, widow care is simply reflecting what Christ Jesus did. And so this morning, we're gonna remember again, consider again, reflect on again the incredible gift of Christ. So I want to pray as we prepare our hearts to receive Jesus and his blood and his body together. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you. I praise you. I worship you for what you did. Christ, I thank you for your sacrifice. I pray that we would go back to that place of thankfulness, gratefulness, over appreciation, although we can't overly appreciate, but appreciating in a new way what you did, Christ, for us in adopting us into your family. Pray that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The servers are going to come forward and we're going to receive first the bread. And the bread is a symbol of the body of Christ. You don't have to be a member here. This can be your first time. If you have trusted in Jesus, then receive this. This is a way to remember Christ's body. And the bread is a symbol of his body that was broken for us. So let's pray again and ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, again, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. We know that you did that because we needed you. We thank you for your very humble, willing sacrifice on our behalf. Bless this time now as we remember your body in Jesus' name. Amen. The bread is a symbol of Christ's body, and if you look closely, if you have a piece that's large enough, you'll see stripes on this bread, and that is a good picture of the stripes that Christ took for us as he was beaten prior to his death. We also use matzah bread, which is a bread made without leaven. And of course, leaven was a symbol of sin, and Christ was the sinless sacrifice for our sin, that although he did nothing to deserve death, he took death and became death for the ones who did deserve it. So Jesus said it this way on the night that he was betrayed. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks for it, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's remember the body of Jesus together. Jesus, again, we thank you for your blood that was shed, your blood that was poured out for us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't have it coming, and yet you gave your blood, which is your life, that we might have life. We praise you. We thank you. We remember again the great sacrifice of your blood, your life, on our behalf, in Jesus' name. Your name, Christ. Amen. You know, these cups are filled with simple grape juice, but it's a symbol. It's a picture. It's a representation of something that is not simple in any way. That was pure. That was perfect. That was sinless. That was God. But that was not simple. The sacrifice of Christ was the most profound sacrifice gift that has ever been given. The most meaningful of all moments in creation happened at the cross and at his resurrection. And today we remember his blood, his beautiful, sinless, perfect life that was offered for us. Jesus also said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's remember Jesus' blood together. Jesus, again, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we adore you today because of your great sacrifice. Christ, help us to love because you loved. Help us to give because you gave. Help us to visit because you visited. May we simply reflect you, Jesus, and the gospel in the way we care for others. Give us the grace and the strength and the willingness to step out and be your hands and feet. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Okay, we're not going to close with a song this morning, but may there be a song in your heart this morning. Amen? Amen. Let the graciousness of God keep you, go with you, bless you as you become the hands and feet of Jesus. God bless everybody. Have a good day.